On a Sunday morning, we always start off the 10 o'clock hour with Willie Hallahan and Sporting a Cause. SportingACause.com is Willie's website. He blogs on there, and he also lists events that are coming up that are all fundraisers. And somehow, some way, there is a direct connection to sports involved in those fundraisers. And, of course, we are leaving January and heading to February. And I know that I sniff out that we'll be talking a little bit probably about the Jump Fest coming up. But there are some other things going on. Willie, good morning.
Good morning, Marshall, and you're right. As I like to say these days and this time of year, there's not much going on, but you know me, I've always got something to say, and there are a couple things. A couple of events I've spoken of before that were kind of in transition. I can put the final spin on those. The 22nd annual Norfolk Pub 10-mile road race has now officially been canceled. It was first scheduled for December. It's a well-respected race. It's one of only two that are held in Norfolk each year. So it's an important race for people like the 169 Town Society. I've spoken to that over the years. They're a group of people that are like 3,000 strong now. It's really a force to reckon with. And their goal is to run a race in every town in Connecticut, 169 towns. And when it comes to the small towns around here, there are usually only one or two races. So if they want to check that town off their list, so to speak, they have to run in that. And Norfolk is one of two races. And so they were trying as best they could to hold it. So what they did was they postponed it from December because the governor had banned road running races. They rescheduled for January 30th in the hopes that that ruling would be changed, but then just yesterday, I think, they decided a week away that that wasn't going to happen, so they canceled it, and it's too bad. Greystone Racing is the organizer of this race, and they it's an organization that provides timing and other and registration services for races. And if you go to Greystone's website and follow the link to the pub, Norfolk Pub 10 Miler, they kind of put forth their argument that road races should be reinstated and that they're safe outside events if organized with safety. And I have to say I agree with them. You know, in the state, the same way that states dealt with golf courses at the beginning of the pandemic, although Connecticut never shut golf courses down, to their credit, Massachusetts banned golfing until like the end of May of last spring. New York State, they went back and forth and back and forth. They closed them, opened them, closed them, opened them before they finally opened them. And running, you know, running races are pretty much the same thing. They're outdoor events. Anyway, the Norfolk Pub Run was an important race, like I mentioned. And by the way, there's no doubt that a race, even a modest one of 100, maybe 200 people, have a very meaningful economic impact on the towns they visit. I've seen this happen. I've talked to people at races, and it's especially when the 169 Town Society is involved. These people, half of the field, if you got 200 runners, there's a good chance that half of them are these out-of-towners, if you will. They come to town. They pay the registration. They run the race. They've supported the cause. But then they hang around. They check out the town that they're in. They have breakfast. They have lunch. They visit pubs. They buy gas. I don't even have to mention how meaningful these extra dollars can be to small businesses and small towns. Anyway, in my opinion, it's time to lift that ban on road races. I've witnessed how safely they can be run. Before the ban, there was one in Canaan, there's one in Litchfield. They started the races with staggered starts instead of group starts. They'd start them four, five, six at a time, distanced. They wore masks at the beginning of the race, and once they got out 100 yards down the road, they could take them off. Just like golf courses can be, golfing can be done safely, so too can road races. It's time to lift that ban. Another race that was affected by this ruling is the 19th annual Bob and Peg Andrulis Sweetheart Run. That's down in Litchfield. That was supposed to be run on the 13th of February. Now, they decided some time ago to switch to virtual. They weren't waiting for a change of ruling. They just decided to go virtual, but they took their time to think about it and how best to craft an alternative event and this week they came out with their guidelines. And just like a regular race, you can register online. The entry fee is $30 a person. And you can actually run the original course that they had set up had they run a regular in-person race. But instead of on that day, you can run it any time between February 6th and 14th, whenever you feel like it. There's an app where you can register your time after you've run the race. And then after the 14th, awards will be given out. There'll be raffle prizes given out. And this is about as close to actually holding an event as you can without actually holding it. So good for them. They're doing the best they can. Now, on February 1st, running through mid-March, a six-week program, the Northwest Connecticut YMCA system, that's Kane and Winston and Torrington, are hosting the Reset Challenge. I talked about that before. I think it's worthy of speaking of it again. It's 6 weeks of mind and body strengthening. Some of it will be done virtually, some in person, and you can get the contact information on sportingacause.com so you can find out more about it. And most importantly, Marshall, it's free. The junior ski jumping program over at Satry Hill is ongoing. I was over there yesterday taking some video and some pictures, and one of those areas where the pandemic has led to good news. We're getting like 25 kids to every practice to jump, and that's unprecedented. We've never had that many kids before, some of them part of the reason is that we have newcomers to our area, and they're bringing their kids. And anyway, they're having a great time. We've had good conditions and weather. And it's just a gas to see these little kids jumping. We had they actually turned the practice into a little competition yesterday, just to switch things up a little bit. And their very smallest kids, they fashioned this little 4-meter jump, which is just a little bump of snow, so they could get the feel. They put the lines on the snow just like a regular competition, and they had fun. People cheered them on, and it was just heartwarming to see. You know, you're looking for silver linings, I guess you call it, in these days, and that seems to be one of them. And then I guess I'll just talk for a minute about Jump Fest. Yeah, it's probably time for another disclaimer. I'm a director of SWASA, so whenever I'm talking about all matters of ski jumping and that sort of thing, I am intimately involved with it, just so you know. And if it seems like I'm talking about SWASA more than other things, you're probably right. But anyway, Jump Fest is coming. We're putting it on February 12th through 14th, but there are changes. And the thing that I worry most about is that we have to limit attendance. It is the first time that's ever happened. And now, to comply with state guidelines, we're going to limit each day, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, to 400 people. That's it. That's 25% of what we think our maximum limit is at our facility. And I know we're going to disappoint people, but that's the thing I worry about most. So, Friday night, by the way, is free. Typically, we charge for Friday night just like we do for Saturday and Sunday. But because we've also decided to cancel the human dog sled race, that becomes a safety issue. By its nature, participants kind of clump up together, and we decided it just wasn't a safe thing to hold. So we canceled that for Friday night. We're still having the target jumping, which is fun. And for anybody who's never been to Satry Hill on Friday night, it's really something to behold. The whole place is lit up, of course. The kids, the jumpers who are going to be jumping all 3 days, are target jumping. It's a fun night for them. They got no judges or anything. They don't have to worry about their form. All they're trying to do is land on the target, and their cash prizes for them. It's fun. But because we're not doing the human dog sled race, which was a big draw, we're just not charging for Friday night. So, but you got to be among the first 400 in, and the same on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday's events are going to be pretty much the same as always. There's the Salisbury Invitational on Saturday, and the Eastern U.S. Ski Jumping Championships on Sunday, and that's the most important competition for these kids because they're vying for a spot on the junior national team. So that's about it, Marshall. Of course, when people go in, their masks will be required. It's outdoors, but we still have to be masked. We still have to be distanced, and we'll have the bonfires, but just keep your distance. Instead of elbowing up, shoulder to shoulder at the fire, you just got to keep apart from one another, just like everywhere else we go. And Marshall, on an optimistic note, besides the fact that Jump Fest is on the books to happen, I'm just getting whispers of optimism out there. Chris from Great Falls Brewery has been talking about sponsoring a couple events this spring or whenever it becomes legally possible, running races, beanbag toss fundraisers, and the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau is going to be meeting to plan their golf tournament. They're looking for a June date to do that. So I don't know. There's people are looking favorably towards the upcoming months and getting back to normal if that's possible. So that's heartening to hear, and it makes me feel good that better days are coming.
Warmer days are coming, better days are coming, and sooner or later, we'll be out there doing what we normally would do.
Yes, we will.
All right, Willie. Pray. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marshall. You take care.
Take care. Willie Hallahan, Sporting a Cause. You can find Sporting a Cause at sportingacause.com on the web.